Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively through the Preakness. We made it. Maybe next year people will go. Maybe next year they'll let me go. Maybe next year friends of mine will go. Maybe next year it won't look so weird when we look down and see all that grass in the middle of the infield. But Luke Jones was looking at a different kind of grass, and it wasn't even what you're thinking. He was at Camden Yards over the weekend, as well as at Owings Mills, and tossing it around, and OTAs, and rookie guys, and baseball games. The big bad Yankees came in, and the Orioles finally did them dirty on the weekend. Kind of weird seeing so many Yankees fans around here and sort of almost back-to-back-to-back weekends. Feels like we've got a lot of Yankees in the early part of the season, huh?
Yeah, lots of Yankees and lots of Red Sox. I mean, you kind of think the first 40 games of the season, 20 have come against New York and Boston. And I mean, the Orioles are 4-6 against both clubs. Not exactly shocking. I don't think it's anything to be overly outraged about. I mean, the Orioles are where they are, and the Yankees and the Red Sox are where they are, which is at the top of the division. So not terribly shocking in that way, but it is a little bit of a reminder of just how difficult the Orioles' first quarter of the season from a schedule standpoint has been. You know, I mean, not just them. They played Seattle when the Mariners were playing some pretty good baseball. You know, they played the Mets. You know, they played a pretty tough schedule, and that's not to say, you know, that their record is good or anything like that. I mean, they're in last place, and it's not a spot that's surprising for them to be, but I think it is interesting now to look at the schedule and know that they don't have to play the Yankees and the Red Sox again until August. And, you know, they will be going up against some teams like Washington coming up and the Minnesota Twins, who for my money might be the biggest surprise in baseball, how bad they've been this year. I mean, they've been awful, a team that's had a lot of success the last couple of years. So, you know, a chance for the Orioles to, you know, dare I say it, you know, have a stretch where they can win some more games and play a little bit better baseball, but it was nice to see them at least salvage the final game of the series.
That's kind of the story of the season.
Yeah, sure. Well, the Twins have been the team that's been shockingly awful. You know, you look at them at the bottom with Detroit in the Central. That's, you know, that's surprising to me. But to your point, yeah, I mean, I think on the heels of what happened last year with the pandemic and 60 game schedule and not knowing what impact that would have on pitching. And, you know, we've seen injuries. We've seen Tommy John surgery for some recognizable names around baseball. You know, I can't say I'm shocked overall that we haven't seen a team necessarily run away with it. Although certainly you can look at someone like Boston playing better than people anticipated the Red Sox. So, you know, you have some surprises here and there, but you know, to your point, I think it's shaping up that you'll have some good division races. But with the Orioles, we know, of course, you know, the standings aren't where their focus is right now from a big picture standpoint. It's trying to develop young players, and the minor leagues season is underway now. But on Sunday, it was nice to see Bruce Zimmerman just recalled working kind of not even long relief, kind of that balk outing. I think that's kind of the new term that you're hearing. When a pitcher of length follows an opener, they had Plutko start the game, didn't go well, 4 runs in the first inning, and you're thinking, well, this is going to be a long afternoon of baseball. But Bruce Zimmerman comes in and pitches really well, gave the Orioles a chance, and the bats came alive. So a nice win on Sunday to salvage what was a disappointing but not exactly shocking weekend of baseball against the Yankees.
Yeah, when I look at it in totality, and you'd say, well, all right, close game, you lose on Friday, fine. Saturday, you know, it's 5-0, it's 8-0, it is what it is. I kind of thought that's what this would look like. You know, you win a close one, you lose a close one, and you get blown out. That's sort of what 70-win baseball looked like. I don't know if that's what it's going to be here. I don't know. There's a little part of me for them that feels like I am almost on the more optimistic side of this to say, like, they haven't been nearly as bad as they could have been or should have been or might be given the circumstances. So for that, and again, I don't know if they're going to trade Mancini or Means or any. I mean, all of these guys are bait. Let's be honest. If somebody needs something in a pennant race and is willing to overpay, this is the team you would call. So I don't know what the last 60 games of their schedule would look like or what version of the team is going to be on the field and who would stay healthy. But as they are trending, this guy Hyde's doing a decent job. Guys are playing okay for what you know, their level of investment for what they paid for and what they're getting. It's been an over-deliver situation if you've been watching it every game.
Yeah, it's funny. I was actually just talking to my best friend who's a big baseball fan. We were actually talking about this series and kind of where they've been through the first 40 games of the season. And you just kind of said it. You summed up how I feel in a lot of ways, that you kind of look at the sum of the parts and clearly they've scuffled after Means throwing the no-hitter, but you play the Red Sox, you play the Yankees and the Mets who are playing good baseball. It's not shocking. Certainly you don't want to be losing 7 of 8and having those kinds of stretches, but you know that they're going to have some of that. I mean, it's the reality of a 90, 95, 100 loss team, wherever it ultimately falls. But you look for the bright spots. I mean, Friday night, Dean Kramer pitched okay. Against the Yankees, I thought that was a competitive outing. They clearly protected him third time through the order. Pitch count, you thought he probably could go a little bit longer, but him facing the heart of the Yankees order a third time, you're asking for trouble.
By the way, I got to say something about the Friday night. I actually watched that game at a bar.
There you go.
I was at Chaucer. Yeah, a little, open air, second floor. I was over on the Highland Avenue with my boy Brian. And my friend Brittany, who's selling beer, slinging beer. So, and we're getting ready for this crab cake tour. So, I had a snowball. I had beer. I had lettuce wraps. And I looked up and a dude pitching. I said, I like him because he's got hair like me. So, that's how I remember it was Kramer on Friday night. I looked up there and I saw that big hair blob. And I thought, all right, man. Dude looks like my hair. Maybe what's old is new again. Maybe I need to get Brad Pennington back on a show.
It's funny. You just mentioned the fact that you were watching a game in an establishment, first of all. I mean, when you think about where we
at a bar.
Yeah. But it's funny when you introduced our conversation, you mentioned Preakness, you mentioned the Orioles, you mentioned rookie camp. Dare I say, that really sounds normal, right? I mean, last year, Preakness was in early October. There were no OTAs. The no one was playing baseball at this point. Yeah, for mid-May, it's feeling more normal, and that's great, right? I mean, let's celebrate that a little bit,
too. It's been a
while. Yeah, it has been
14 days when they lied to us last year.
You're right, right. But I think, going back to what I was saying, Kramer, pitched pretty well Friday night. I mentioned Zimmerman pitching really well on Sunday, and that's what you want to see. I mean, these guys, both of them, they've taken some of their lumps this year. I mean, it's been a struggle. We've talked a lot about, Ryan Mountcastle scuffling. He drives in 4 runs on Sunday. You're looking for those individual success stories, and that's where, as much as, you don't want to be in that 47 and 115 territory they were in a few years ago, although that netted him Adley Rutschman. And, we've seen Rutschman lighten it up at Double A Bowie.
Part of that in this case would be they could easily go 8-22
oh, sure.
September because they bust the team up and they won't care if they do that. They'll like if they do that, if they get the 3rd pick instead of the 6th pick. I mean, all of that's baked into this. And you know that, and I know that. And it's sort of the unwritten part of this when you're not really trying. So I don't know, measuring them, it's weird to measure them, right? Because you do look at them and say they haven't, it's like the major league thing. They're out, squirting the right. Ground. They don't suck as bad as I thought, so far, which is good, but it's still not good baseball. I don't know what bell curve we're measuring this on. That's the weird part of all of this, right?
Well, but that's also where you have to understand the objectives of the organization. I mean, right now it's about those individual success stories or lack thereof. Ryan Mountcastle drives in 4 on Sunday. Great. Now you want to see him start sustaining it. He was swinging the bat better for a while, and then he went into another little tailspin. You mentioned that potentially the trade deadline. And I mean, are there a couple names? Sure. I mean, and we don't need to belabor that point. We'll have plenty of time to talk about it. But, you know, the guys like Mountcastle, guys like Zimmerman, guys like Kramer, you know, Keegan Aiken, you know, even though statistically the final line on Saturday wasn't great, but, you know, three scoreless innings, his first three. You know, those are the kind of guys that have a chance to be around. Those are the kinds of guys that have a chance to be part of whatever this ultimately becomes 2, 3, 4 years from now. You know, hopefully not longer than that. But that's where you're kind of looking. And I've said you come up with your objective for why you're watching, because you know there are going to be plenty of nights and plenty of stretches where it's ugly, and you still have lots of placeholders on this roster and guys. I mean, you look at second base. I mean, it's been a disaster. I mean, that's Rio Ruiz, not the answer there. We saw Urias get sent down.
Jonathan Scope back when they had a chance.
Well, Jonathan Scope's bounced around, which is kind of interesting to kind of see how teams have valued or not valued him. But you know, you look for those individual stories, and that's why I think it's been so uplifting that the minor league season is underway, right? I mean, after losing all of 2020 in that regard, in some ways it was hard not to feel like the rebuild was almost had to be put on hold because Adley Rutschman wasn't playing in real games and DL Hall wasn't playing in real games.
So catch me up on this. Give me a little Rutschman update. Like, update me on the minors, because that's the real story here.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. I mean, Rutschman's a double A. Hit a home run on Sunday. He's been catching. He's been playing first base on the days that he isn't catching. I think you have to be thrilled and as advertised, I would say, and acknowledging it's double A. And I think one thing that I tried to caution people with, as much as everyone said, okay, well, 2020. I mean, he was drafted in 2019. He could be called up this year. And okay, is it plausible at the very end of the season? Sure. At the same time, Elias and Sig Meidel and this front office, this organization, this new regime has made very clear they want guys to graduate each level as much as they can. Now, that doesn't mean Rutschman will be at double A the entire year. If he's raking by mid-July and just, you know, he's hitting 350 and is just, you know, you can tell he needs to be challenged a little more, then yeah, he'll probably go to Norfolk at that point. So, but you know, you have Rutschman. DL Hall struggled on Sunday, but he's had some really nice outings. Grayson Rodriguez is at single A Aberdeen. Keep in mind, Aberdeen is the new Frederick in terms of the hierarchy. That's high A. Delmarva's still low A. But, you know, there have been good pitching performances. That's when you look at the Orioles system, Rutschman aside, Yusniel Diaz has been banged up. You know, that's been a disappointing start for him. You know, that's nagging injuries have plagued him the last two, you know, going back to 2019 even. But, you know, it's really on the pitching side. And you've seen success on the pitching side really at every level of the minor leagues early on. Of course, Hall and Grayson Rodriguez are the big names, but you have Kyle Bradish and some other guys that are, you know, in that second, third tier, wherever you want to put them. You know, Mike Bauman just had an outing. He's been dealing with a health issue going back to last fall with the forearm. But, you know, it sounds like that's moving in the right direction for him. He's someone that is a higher ceiling pitching prospect. The big question for me, and that's not to say that there aren't maybes and interesting guys, but it's for this team to continue to develop position players. That's where I look at second base right now. It's like, okay, they acquired Jamai Jones in the Alex Cobb deal. He's a little banged up right now, but he's a guy who I'm guessing we'll see in Baltimore at some point this year. Is he the second baseman of the future? We'll see. You know, he's not a perfect prospect. He's not a top 100 guy, but he's a guy that has some really interesting tools and is athletic. So, you know, for me, we've talked a lot about the outfield. And clearly Mullins has been a fantastic story. We've seen Austin Hayes since coming off the IL. He's hit the ball pretty well. We know he plays good defense. And, you know, DJ Stewart, I think he's probably profiles more as an organizational fourth outfield, occasional DH type. I don't think he's an everyday player. Santander has been hurt, although he just started a rehab assignment. So, but we know the outfield has options, and that's not even talking about Diaz. That's not even talking about Heston Kerstad. To me, the big question is the infield. From a long-term standpoint, Gunnar Henderson, who was an early pick a couple years ago, high school shortstop, he started out really well at Delmarva. So that's been good to see. But him, Jordan Westberg, they're still guys that you figure even best case scenario, they're probably 2 years away. That's best case scenario. So the infield, third base, second base, those are still glaring holes in the organization in terms of depth. And does that mean next year, year after that, is that a spot potentially, Mike Elias, when that proverbial switch is turned on and they're trying to be competitive at the major league level and they're starting to focus on that? Do they go out and get a shortstop? Well, we'll see how it plays out. Do they get a third baseman? We'll see how it plays out. But you know, I think beyond Rutschman, to me, the big success story in the minor leagues is just seeing where their pitching is. And even 2 years ago, you know, the first year of the Elias era, you saw strikeout spike as far as their minor league pitching went. So there are plenty of names to like. There's plenty to be excited about in that way. But they're facing the same challenge everyone else is in baseball right now. And we even saw that with the Orioles over the weekend. John Means was scheduled to start Sunday. They elected to push him back a few days. He's not hurt. I saw with my own eyes, he threw a bullpen on Sunday. They're trying to manage his innings because, again, you go from 60 games to 162. So you're trying to marry these two concepts of, one, developing these guys because ultimately they need to be able to play and then pitch at the major league level and perform at the major league level, but also trying to nurture and protect their arms to kind of figure out what's the perfect. And they don't, I don't think they have a perfect number, but.
Well, it's literally what can we get out of them? What can we get out of them?
Yeah. Well, but it's also a case of, but you want to protect them at the same time, because this is uncharted territory. You know, as much as people don't want to hear about, more old school fans hate hearing about pitch counts and innings limits and all that. Baseball had a 60-game season last year. And as much as these guys may have been throwing bullpens in their backyards or at the alternate site playing sim games and things like that, that's not the same thing as facing live hitters in a highly competitive environment. So the Orioles case with John Means, part of it is he's been so good and he's thrown so many innings that they wanted to ease back. And he's supposed to start Wednesday. I don't think there's any reason to think that won't happen, but they wanted to give him a few extra days rest. And you're going to see that. We've seen that with some of the minor league guys. We saw Dean Kramer optioned because they had some off days. He didn't need a fifth starter. And they thought, hey, this might be a way to preserve some of his innings that he pitches deeper into the season. Because, again, you're just trying to you're trying to balance developing them and making sure they're getting enough work with the idea then that you don't want pitchers to go down with injuries.
Well,
and we've seen that around baseball.
On the conservative side, which is a little weird, yeah. Where Buck would have blown out three of Matt Wieter's knees. You know what I mean? Like, it's a completely different philosophical way of doing it. And I would even say this, that to some degree, the judgment on these guys is already that they sort of know what they're doing. We knew that ahead of time, right? But sort of the Cedric Mullins and the Means, there are successes here that they can tie their wagon to, even if they haven't fixed everyone and everyone isn't outside the top 100 that moves inside. But on the things that they're responsible for, they have turned some turds into gold, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and even an argument you make to keep John Means around, not even thinking about this, the fact that, and to be very clear, three more years of club control for John Means after this year. You know, if some team wants to absolutely blow them away with an insane trade offer, yeah, of course you're going to listen. And of course you're going to consider that. There's no one in this organization that's untouchable, nor should there be. I mean, that's just not, there is no Cal Ripken with the Orioles right now. But, you know, you kind of look at this. John Means, to me, is a great example for these other pitchers to emulate, to strive toward. I mean, a guy who, you know, was kind of, you look at where he was 3 years ago, he was kind of on the fringe of their top 30 prospect list. You know, he was not really a guy, more of an organizational guy. And we know he went to work, you know, in the off season, he, you know, went to a performance center, worked on the changeup, met the new regime, Chris Holt, who's the Orioles pitching coach now, you know, really, they talked a lot about him developing his changeup, and the changeup is his money pitch now. But it isn't just that. It's not the John Means of 2 years ago. And oh, he was, you know, a rookie of the year candidate and he made the All-Star team and all that. He's gotten better since then. You know, so you see him continue to grow. And you know, you and I talked about this a lot when they first hired Elias and Mydell. We talked about Astro Ball and you know that the concept of a growth mindset. John Means more and more is looking like the Orioles version of Dallas Keuchel. Dallas Keuchel was already in the Astros organization. He was not a terribly impressive pitcher from a physical standpoint. His numbers didn't blow you away. His first couple years
in Astro Ball, kind of right.
But he was the kind of guy who took new information. You know, whether you're talking about analytics, whether you're talking about technology. You know, I mean, the high-speed cameras, all the different things that they use in terms of making player development more scientific. And he blossomed into a Cy Young Award winner. And, you know, it's interesting, and I even use this comparison as I was writing about this at BaltimorePositive.com about that big picture question of, will John Means be around when the Orioles win again? And again, 3 years of club control left. This is not a guy who the clock is ticking just yet. I mean, he'll just be heading into his first arbitration season this offseason. But you kind of look at where Keuchel was. He really blossomed in 2014. The Astros were still a 90-plus loss club that year. And you can actually go back and see articles that speculated that Jeff Luhnow was considering trading him at the deadline in the same way that you'll at least hear chatter about the Orioles, you know, whether it's this – you know, this all-star, you know, this trade deadline.
How many rejected guys the Orioles dealt at the deadline at various points? How many, guys that Jake Arrieta types that they just, you know, the Brad Bergeson types that just hung around for a while and it never really happened here, right? I mean, Keuchel easily could have been that guy. John Means maybe could have been that guy, right?
Well, I mean, I think for in both of those cases, those were guys that weren't really highly touted. I mean, you mentioned Jake Arrieta. I mean, Jake Arrieta was well known around the league as far as his talent, his potential. I mean, these are guys who people didn't really view as having that much talent, that much potential, and they worked and they got better. And you know, it speaks to that growth mindset. It speaks to becoming better and seeking out improvement. You know, it's one thing to just listen to a coach give you some tips and you know you kind of go about your work and you just have your routine. And I mean, John Means wasn't going to settle for being a long man out of the bullpen, and you see where how far he's come in a few years. But to go back to what I was mentioning about Keuchel, though, the trade deadline 2014, Astros were still at the time people thought probably 2-3 years away still. Well, they didn't trade him. They lost 90 plus games that year, but the following year, they're in the playoffs as a wild card. And there you go. I mean, that was the beginning of their run. So I guess part of my point was, as much as right now you look at the Orioles and you say, okay, you know, they're 17-23, struggle against the Yankees and the Red Sox and, you know, everything you would kind of expect, doesn't mean that it won't come quickly for this team when they put it together. I mean, 2012, no one expected them to put it together the way they did. They went from 69-93 to 93-69 from 2011 to 2012. So, but the point is, you know, with Means, Mancini's a couple years older than that. He's further along as far as, his expiring club control. But you look at these guys, I think there's still plenty of value even keeping them around, even just to be examples. I mean, if John Means can make himself into an all-star caliber Cy Young Award candidate kind of pitcher, which is what he has been in 2021, then Dean Kramer and Keegan Aiken and Mike Bauman and Zach Lowther and, you know, go down the DL Hall and Grayson Rodriguez, who have a higher ceiling than anyone in this organization on the pitching side. I mean, what a great model. So there's even that value of keeping him around, not just for the hopes that 2022, 2023, 2024, things would be better. And then, you know, you get to a point where, yeah, you could talk about an extension at some point in time. But even in the interim, I just think it's such an asset to have that guy, to have Cedric Mullins as these real, live, breathing examples of players who went through some trials, or in Mullins' case, went through some struggles to the point that he was down in Double A 2 years ago, had fallen all the way to Double A. And now you look at him, he's one of the better leadoff hitters in the American League and having the success. I think those are, as much as you want to talk about technology and analytics and this coach or that coach or, you know, buying free agents or draft picks or whatever, when you have real life examples of guys who that are success stories, guys that were flawed in some way or not really highly touted, and now you see where they are. I mean, shame on any other players in this organization who doesn't look at those examples and say, wow, how can I get better? And I think that's where John Means sticking around the next 2-3 years, even if the Orioles ultimately trade him, or even if it takes 5 years for them to be a contender again, I think there's a lot of value there that you can't necessarily quantify, but I think it's really, really important for this organization to have some of that, because, you know, it does, it increases expectations, even if those expectations aren't there in the win-loss column at the major league level right now.
So when does like AAA get going then?
AAA started.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They all started. They're about 2 weeks in now. Yeah. Okay, it was early May.
Everything's going going to go, but what happened to the old Aberdeen League, the June shortened league? That still exists, right?
Remember, all these leagues have kind of been
consolidated, right?
I mean, it's all kind of geographic now. Like the Eastern League, technically the International League no longer exists. You know, they're all, it's AAA and they go by region of, you know, parts of the country. So it's strange in that way, but yeah, they're all playing. I mean, they're, you know, Frederick is now what, the college draft league or whatever it is, which, you know, they're not affiliated, you know, unfortunate of course. And, you know, we've talked a lot about minor league baseball, but yeah, I mean, AAA Norfolk, AA Bowie, it's high A Aberdeen now and still low A Delmarva, but those are the four, you know, the four major affiliate minor leagues. And, you know, of course they'll have the Gulf Coast, they'll have the Dominican Summer League, you know, those will get going a little bit later on, but yeah, they're underway and lots of good things happening at the minor league level, even, you know, even if there've been a couple disappointments, you know, with Diaz being banged up and you know, some things of that nature.
Well, we'll be watching. We got football on our brain. Horse racing was on our brain. I don't know. You know, pretty soon we'll have, you know, other summer pursuits here of all kinds, including our crab cake eating tour. Started at Fadley's. I got my Fadley's shirt. I'm working on shirts from all of our sponsors here. Man, Fadley's is pretty good, Luke. You know, can I add, have you ever had a Fadley's crab cake or you?
It's been a long time. I know I did at one point. It's been a while.
Here's what we're going to do. Because you come down to the ballpark and Fadley's is 3 blocks in the other direction from where I live. You and I are going to get proper. You got your shots, right?
Yeah. 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 I'm now what, a week removed from being fully vaxxed, 2 weeks past my second shot.
So. All right, bro. We're going to have to find a date on the Orioles schedule. I was goofing around on the Norfolk Tide site, looking at doctored pictures of Gary Kendall. That doesn't look like the real Gary Kendall. So I was looking at various things here. I'm figuring with the Orioles schedule, there's going to come a night. You and I, you should come down early and we should old school it and go. Do you eat oysters?
They're not my favorite, but I eat them.
Yes. I had a long conversation with the Divine Family as part of the crab cake episode. By the way, I hope everybody goes out and checks that out. John Sarbanes joined us for sort of the preamble. Then we did a whole segment where I ate the crab cake and we talked about the mustard in it and the saltines in it and what the water does to it. And then Luke, I want to tell you why I was delayed for this segment. My wife's out of town and they're always trying to talk me into taking fish home at Fadley's, right? So she sent me home with like porgy and all these fish like 5 weeks ago. My wife liked several of them. She liked them all actually, but we made them and they're all very different. White, flaky, slimy, fishy, flaky, mild, all the different kind of fish. So I came home, I saw a rockfish and I'm like, cut that and fillet that for me. So I brought 2 pieces of rockfish home. I made a piece of rockfish tonight that was the best piece of fish I've ever had in my life from Fadley's. Like, I don't even want to tell you what I did to it, but I dumped a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and I shook on some of this, and then I cracked on a little bit of that, and I cracked on a little bit more of this other special stuff. And it was really, really good. So I had gotten into this seafood mojo. I had the crab cake. I ate the second crab cake. Then John Sarbanes, I waved the crab cakes at him over and over and over again. He got pissed and he's like, all right, now I want you to ship them to me because you kept threatening. I kept saying I'd ship them. So his people checked in thinking I had the crab cakes that were in the bag. I'm like, no, I have to like ship them overnight. So John's not getting the crab cakes till the middle of the week, but you can have them whenever you want them. All right. So it's just a short fly ball from Camden Yards,
yeah,
to Lexington Market.
That sounds good to me. Sounds excellent.
I found out that oysters aren't just for our months. That's sort of a fallacy.
Okay.
It's when they're the biggest and the fattest. It was something about them being kept hot and cold 100 years ago.
Hmm.
Go watch the interview, but you can eat oysters in May and in June and July. It doesn't need to be an R in the month.
Mm-hmm.
These are things you learn when you hang out with smart people.
There you go.
Crabs are running right now too, so it's all good. I even got my my kitty a couple of shrimp for this. So it's seafood celebration. Crab cakes were at State Fair this Friday, celebrating Catonsville. I've got a surprise up my sleeve for the Costas boys. We're also moving onward and upward. We've got Brandon Scott at Coco's. We have Barry Glassman joining us up in Harford County. I believe we're going to do that at Barrett's. At least I'm hoping to do it. John Barrett doesn't know it yet. If you see him, let him know. Also, Johnny O is going to be joining us at Pappas. And confirmation, Stuart Pittman joining us at G&M in Anne Arundel County. So we're eating crab cakes, getting ready for the 30-30 tour beginning on August 1st in Ocean City, Maryland. I'm Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, we never stop having wise conversations and those signature crab cakes and talking Baltimore positive.